yeah, man. How cool was it watching the NFL this weekend? Whether you're on the Red Zone or Sunday Ticket or however you're watching, even at a sports bar, and you'll see like the ticker of like number one quarterback rankings, Kirk Cousins, 509 yards, 4 touchdowns. Feels good, doesn't it?
I would like to say to everyone out there listening, you like that?
You do like that, yes. And barring something crazy tonight with the Chiefs taking on the Saints, and maybe Mahomes, the offense has been lackluster. They beat us, I get it. But most likely, our boy Kirk Cousins, Captain Kirk and the Cardiac Kids, he'll be the offensive player of the week, I would imagine, in the NFL.
Following up Troy Anderson's defensive player of the week.
Right on. So good things, man. We'll be up there at Flower Branch on Wednesday. So get your Falcon fix right here in your home of your first place Falcons. Right now, let's talk about your fourth or fifth place Georgia Bulldogs and talk some dogs. Yeah, man, AP's got them at 5. Coach's poll's got the dogs at 4. Texas, Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia. We were just having a conversation about is Oregon for real? You don't think so. You think Ohio State's got them. We'll talk to Connor about the dogs first, and we'll get his take on that. Connor, I thought it was, wasn't like the worst start, but it's still a little bit sluggish, but it's with the oldest rivalry in college football, for crying out loud. That matters.
Right. And, part of it is Auburn did a good job shortening up the game. Georgia only had 4 first-half possessions, and I think that sort of just naturally shrunk the game down. And so with 2 minutes left to go in the first half, Georgia's only got 7 points. It feels a little more of the same-ish from Georgia from what we saw, but they're able to turn things around in the second half and I think really take control of that game and put away an Auburn team that is just no longer in the same weight class as Georgia.
Connor, factoring in injuries, I know you can't help but prevent that. How would you grade the offensive line so far this season? To me personally, I've seen a little bit of up and down, but solid, but I don't know if it's been to the degree we may have thought to begin the year.
No, yeah, I would certainly agree with you there, Chris. It has been up and down week to week. I thought the Kentucky game was incredibly poor. I thought they've been a little bit better these last 2 weeks. And when you consider no Kate Ratledge for those last 2 games, Jared Wilson, their starting center, missed this pass game for them. They've had to juggle some things around, but this is a group where we talked about in the offseason. We thought this could be one of the best position groups in the country, and it has just not been that this season. They have not played up to their standard. You still take them over most offensive lines in the country, but this is a group that is just for a variety of reasons has not played up to the level that we expected coming into the season.
What do you think of Drew Bobo's effort this week?
Yeah, I thought all things considered being thrown in like that, and obviously he had all week in practice to prepare and take reps like that, but a guy making his first start against Auburn in a situation like that, it's hard to ask for much more, especially at a center position where, again, you're monitoring calls, communicating, making sure that you get the snap right. He appeared to do all that. Again, wasn't the most dominant showing from this Georgia offensive line, but considering where he had to step in and what he had to do, I thought it was a solid first effort for Drew Bobo, the son of Georgia's offensive coordinator, Mike Bobo.
When it comes to Kirby's messaging, Connor, after the game where he, appeared to call out the fan base in terms of their energy and their effort in providing a true home field advantage, do you feel like, as somebody who hears from the fan base all the time, that the fans have become a little bit jaded in terms of demanding not only winning, but winning with flair and winning with style?
I think this is all sort of molded into sort of a perfect stew that led to what happened on Saturday where, Georgia's coming off a loss. It's an Auburn team that, yes, it's a rival, and it was a big deal when I was in school, when I went there. Right. But part of that, 2013, you had the prayer at Jordan here. That Auburn team went to the national championship game. I got one Auburn home game in my time at Sanford Stadium, and it was a huge deal. Georgia won 8 straight games against Auburn, and, they've won 27 straight home games in a row. This is a team that when they show up in Sanford Stadium, they expect to win. And so I think that factored into, this Auburn opponent is just no longer seen, at least by this current generation of Georgia fans, Georgia students, is seen as the same thorn in the side that it was for previous generations. And I think that's maybe where Kirby Smart is a little frustrated with what he saw on Saturday. But I remember looking up in the stands in the third quarter and just seeing swaths of empty seats in the 300 section when it's still, a 21-10 game at that point. So I understand where Kirby comes from there. From a fan perspective, though, it's a Georgia team. They keep finding ways to lose to Alabama. They beat everyone that they're supposed to. And so you can understand why this was just sort of seen as a ho-hum. They kind of played like that on Saturday. Effort from the Georgia fan base. And it's been led to a lot of really interesting discussions because I think for those that go to a lot of Georgia home games, they haven't exactly done, and I'm saying Georgia from like an operations side, done, I think, a lot to keep an engaged fan base, to make it a fan base that wants to stay there for all four quarters and be loud and be engaged in that sense. So it has led to, I think, a lot of difficult conversations, as we heard today from Kirby Smart.
I mean, it was hot as, you know, Hades, and a lot of guys are thinking about Bourbon Street or the Silver Dollar or whatever your bar is in Athens, wherever you want to go, right? And so the fans were not elite to what Kirby was looking for. And I get it. We've always felt, and this isn't a knock on, I don't want to get dog fans mad at me, but there was times, and it kind of started with 93K Day and it ramped up, but it's never like ever been considered the most intimidating environment in all of SEC football.
No, this is a crowd that, you know, look, at times, I don't know if they've been able to beat the sort of wine and cheese crowd narrative that has sometimes been thrown out there about them. And I will say, too, you know, Kirby has been very complimentary of fans. He has given them credit for games that they have impacted in the past. You think of that, you know, 2022 Tennessee game, 2021 noon game against Arkansas. Obviously, night games, I think, are a special thing here at Georgia, but Georgia has just not been able to get those at home on a consistent basis, and part of that is because Georgia just has not had a great home schedule. And so I think some of this is opponent driven, and Kirby views Auburn, I think, just differently than the rest of the fan base views Auburn again. And I do think that Kirby made these comments knowing that he's got another home game this week against Mississippi State, where, you know, just looking at it on paper, there's not going to be a whole lot of juice, a whole lot of excitement for this game, because Mississippi State is that bad, and they know that Georgia has Texas the week after that, and a game that is just going to naturally have, I think, a lot more excitement.
Do you feel like the wackiness and all the upsets from this weekend, Connor, allows for Georgia to lose to Texas and still be able to be in the finals?
I felt that Georgia did not have to win that Texas game prior to this weekend. I thought I've held the belief that if Georgia goes 10-2, you know, and let's say they lose, as you point out, Chris, to Alabama and to Texas, that because of what they have on the rest of their schedule, they've already got a win over Clemson. That win over Kentucky, I think, is going to continue to look better. You would theoretically have wins over Tennessee and Ole Miss. That strength of schedule is going to be strong enough, in my opinion, to get them to, say, a 10-2, where, you know, they're maybe hosting a first-round playoff game as a 7 or an 8 seed, and then they're potentially playing a 1 or a 2 seed in the quarterfinals should they win that first home game. So in that sense, this Texas game is not a must-win, but they still have tough games on the schedule, top 15 opponents in Tennessee and almost in addition to Texas. And I think you have to go 2-1 in those games to get home and get into the college football playoff. And I think as well that this game against Texas represents a major opportunity for Georgia to sort of show Texas, hey, like, this is what it takes to be an SEC caliber program, because Texas has been great so far to start this season, but their schedule has been incredibly weak, and with Michigan looking very suspect, I think it was maybe even weaker than perhaps it seems. So I think this Georgia-Texas game, when it does get played on October 19th, is going to be a game that Georgia is absolutely up for.
It's hard to see, you know, Oklahoma beat. I mean, again, but it's a rivalry game, and they do it at the state fair, and strange things have happened. But you're right, Texas does look like, for the most part, they will have the easier path. Connor, we said this earlier in the show, and I said it again, I don't want to sound like, you know, you're making excuses. It just, I didn't like Bobo's game plan against Alabama, and you see Alabama against Vanderbilt, and you feel, you know, if you don't get into a shooting match, if you play a controlled style, if you play the more run, you know, make ETN the focal point of it. Don't blitz as much. It just seems like, in hindsight, there's a lot of things the Georgia coaching staff would take back that they did in Tuscaloosa. You agree?
Yes and no. I don't have a problem with how Georgia came out aggressive throwing the ball to start that game, and because that's what worked really successfully for them in the later stages of the game. But obviously, I think from an offensive standpoint, you know, you want to start quicker there, and you understand that. But I think defensively, they learned their lesson in terms of being, as you point out, Mike, so aggressive with how they went after Milroe. Very, I think, reckless. And it was something we'd all talked about in the build-up to that game of, okay, how are you more aggressive with how you go after Jalen Milroe? Well, Georgia found a way to be too aggressive, and I think Milroe, to his credit, did a good job of burning him there. But to your larger point, I mean, you look at how Vanderbilt won that game, and, you know, yes, it was 40-35, but Vanderbilt led wire to wire in that, and they were able to successfully run out the clock in the end. They weren't really sweating the end of that game. They have a ball for 42 minutes in that game, and so that's something where, especially after you see how Trevor Etienne, I think, played this last weekend, and when you're able to get Nate Frazier in the game and get him some reps and get this running game involved, I think that's where you see, okay, maybe time of possession. You know, that Alabama offense is still really, really good, but maybe the best way to limit them is to keep them on the opposing sideline and still be efficient and do what you do on the offensive side of the ball.
I think everybody has Ohio State, Oregon penciled. I think they did at the start of the season, Connor. Ohio State, a 3.5 favorite on the road. Who do you like in that one? I think Ohio State handles their business. What do you think?
I agree with you, Chris. I have not been very impressed with this Oregon team and what we have seen from them so far this season. And as for Ohio State, like, yeah, you could lump them in with Texas and say they haven't played anybody with a pulse. But I think this Ohio State team reminds me a little bit of this 2021 Georgia team, where they've got a great defense. They know what they have to do. They've got two really good studs at running back that are going to be NFL type players. Obviously, Ohio State always has elite wide receiver talent. And you know, that Georgia team had Eddie Mitchell, George Pickens, Brock Bowers as a freshman there. There's some really talented receivers on that Georgia team as well. And so, you know, again, the quarterback is a big question mark there, but I think that this Ohio State team is going to come out on Saturday and give a really controlled performance, knowing that this is probably, other than the Michigan game, for obvious, you know, off-field reasons and what that game means to Ryan Day, this is the biggest game of their season to this point, and they know they've got a chance to go out there and make a statement. And I think that they're going to go out there and do it, even though it should be a difficult environment in Eugene on Saturday night.
Connor Riley's with us, your guys, whipping around the college football world. Tennessee stumbles against Arkansas. They had a 14-3 lead. Hate to see a game end without the ball trying to be put in play as the clock ticked down. I don't know what's going on there, but does that obviously take some of the luster off? But do you feel that Tennessee, they it's just a tough road environment in Arkansas? Great win for Sam Pittman, or Tennessee will still be there when it matters late in the season?
Huge win for Sam Pittman, just in terms of job security, in terms of showing that, hey, like, he can keep this thing on the track and keep building, I think, to a respectable level. And that's maybe something that Arkansas has to reckon with, how they are viewed in the current day of college football. But with this Tennessee team, I'm really concerned about this offense, and they are having some very real growing pains with Nico Iamaliva. And, you know, you can write off the Oklahoma game, like, yeah, their defense was playing so well, and they sort of just downshifted because they know they didn't have to do a whole lot to win. They downshifted again in the second half of this game, and they just couldn't get the score they needed to win this game. And it's a credit to Arkansas for coming back and winning. But now, if you're Tennessee, you're getting the harder part of your schedule. And, you know, I talked earlier about how a 10-2 Georgia team possibly gets in. A 10-2 Tennessee team will get in as well, but they've got games against Alabama at home and at Georgia still on their schedule. And if you lose both of those, you're now looking at 9-3. And that becomes a very difficult, I think, argument to make in terms of getting into the college football playoff. And so if you're Tennessee, you can't be afforded to trick off games like they did against Arkansas, knowing what you still have on your schedule ahead of you. And they're going to play a Florida team that, look, I still don't think they're any good. I think by the end of the season, Billy Napier will no longer be the coach. But they've figured some things out since those early season stumbles. They got a nice win over UCF at home this past week, and that's a rivalry game. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on Tennessee, especially if that offense doesn't click and it is turning into a four-quarter game. I think that might actually help Florida a good bit, whereas it makes Tennessee more and more nervous the longer that turns into a game.
Great stuff, our man, Connor Riley. You can catch him in Dog Nation. There's also a great article talking about Bobo's son getting the start at center and everything else going down with the Dogs. You know, maybe we need to make a road trip. By the way, what is your bar in Athens, by the way, when you do have a chance to imbibe?
Ooh, my go-to in college was Magnolia's, yeah, which is right there on the corner. I just had a lot of great nights in that establishment.
Good answer. Good pull. Maybe we should take the clarion call from Kirby to heart and go out there and reestablish them home field advantage.
Let's do it.
It's a crap game, though. Dog on dog. All right, Connor, that's it, man. It's Dog Nation. Catch him every Monday right here on Duke's Bell. Thanks, brother.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, we'll come back. We're gonna text some phone calls, 404-726-0929. By the way, I got two topics for you. You can talk Falcons, because we obviously, it's a little weird we're not in the mix on a Sunday.
Right.
After that amazing vibe. Are you feeling great? You look around the NFL and you say, look, what I saw this Sunday, this Falcons team can hang with any of these teams.
I think they can.
I think you've seen that there's no perfect team. There's no team that looks like their door. I mean, like the Chiefs, let's be honest, they just know how to finish. Then after the style points. But there's nobody blowing doors out there. That's one. 404-726-0929. The other thing is, what do you make of the Dogs? Take either one. You got column A, Falcons, column B, the Dogs. Are the Dogs passing the eye test for you? Falcons certainly passing my eye test. How about that?
Column C, I'll take the beef lo mein with the teriyaki on the side.
And column D, that's a poo-poo platter for steaky. 404-726-0929. Falcons, you believing? Because I got a guy in my neighborhood. I'll explain. Coming up. It is Dukes and Bell into hour number three of the show. We're off early tonight at 6, and it's the coach's show, and it's fun when we win like we've been winning. Coach Ra talking to Arch, and then the player guest will be the man who made it happen, Kadarryl Hodge. That catch, man, that ball's, I mean, he whips that ball in there, gets, you know, the DB had some leverage, and then just snatches it, and amazing how he just runs away from everybody.
If you look at Kirk's throws from week one to now, you can really see a big difference, Mike Bell.
Big
He's
time.
Got a lot more zip on the ball.
I know that Pat, I mean, we've been going round and round. Carl and I have been arguing about this, and it was funny because I was like, I just don't think he's 100%. Well, yes, he's 100%. And now the question is, can we just ramp up the pass rush? And then when maybe this extra time, this mini bye week, gets Bijan and that hamstring back a little bit more. Because Bijan, only thing really missing now is Bijan touchdowns on the offensive side, right?
He needs to have his first 100-yard game.
Period. For my fantasy team and other implications. We got a couple of dudes. We got Patrick and Smitty ready to go. Or, okay. The question we gave you, one from column A or column B. You're feeling like the Georgia's not passing the eye test? Kirby's got to, get on Georgia fans' cases to sound off like you got a pair. And then that's more Ray Goff than Kirby, but you get the idea. And then the Falcons, it was so much fun to sit back, watch the NFL, and go, we can hang with any of these teams. Like you said earlier, the Cowboys, look, I get it. It's still the Cowboys, and they got a bunch of playmakers. But you think about when that's one of those games, and we looked at the schedule and said, oh, no, we got the Cowboys. I'll take on the Cowboys' best shot right now.
I would take on anyone in that division, Mike Bell, I think, because we got to run through the entire.
Right. Now, we will see Jaden Daniels and the Commanders.
Yeah, which now it's looking like that. In the beginning of the season, we probably thought that's a solid W right there. Now,
right.
I mean, he's playing really well.
A little bit different. All right, man, let's see what we got. We'll start off with Patrick. Hey, man, you're in the game on Dukes and Bell. Chris in for Carl, what you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So I actually went to the Georgia game versus Alabama, so I don't even want to talk about that one. I want to talk about the most exciting thing going on in Atlanta right now. These guys are clicking on all cylinders. I love it when I look at the Facebook videos, you know, the random ones that pop up. Right. You get those overhead views of Kirk Cousins throwing dimes, dude. I'm talking about money shots. All of these guys are getting on the same page. And you know what's really exciting? Is they're not even the best they're going to be yet. They're getting more and more comfortable with each other. I am so freaking excited to be a Falcons fan right now.
That's
Thank you, guys.
That's it. That's what I want to hear. Positivity.
Thank you.
I got a neighbor. I got this neighbor, Dennis. And again, great guy. He's a huge football fan. And about every other day, everybody's got dogs. We got like six or seven owners of awesome pets, and we're always on the dog path. And I'll run into Dennis, and I'll go, what do you think, man? What do you mean you don't know? You had three of the most unbelievable wins in like recent Falcon friggin' history. And Dennis is like, he's like Debbie Downer from Saturday Night Live. You know, that guy.
Yeah, Dennis, we have a message for you here on Dukes and Bell. It's okay to love again.
I mean, yes, I got it. It's like the girlfriend that kicks you in the cods and you keep coming back to her and she's running around with your best friend and I still like her. Get over it. I mean, he's belly aching about like the Mike Vick days. I'm like, that's 20 freaking years ago. Who cares? Let's go. I mean, it's a here and now. The NFL is so balanced. It's basically one play, one possession separating almost everybody in this league.
Mike, I think we have something for Dennis, as a matter of fact, to let him hear to remind him of what the Falcons really are.
Hit this.
Not as big a receiver, though, obviously.
Here's Mooney in motion with Cousins, and they're going to gun it, and it's caught. Kadarryl Hodge, 35, 30,
Take it, baby.
20, 15,
Take it,
10, 5,
bang.
Drive home safely. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the game, Kadarryl. Are you serious?
A walk-off for Kadarryl Hodge and the Falcons.
Now, we play that a couple times on Friday for Twin Peaks because it never gets old, and it's awesome, and the call was great, and it's fun, and we're kicking butt. And now, again, the only thing really missing now, because, you know, Carl and I were banging the drum about Pitts. Coach Ross said it twice, stats are for losers. Well, a stat we do have to amp up is the sacks. We've got to get some pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, only five on the season, Mike Bell. That's not, quite frankly, that's not acceptable.
All right, let's go to Smitty. Hey, man, it's either Dogs or Falcons today. Smitty, hey, man, you're in the game.
Hey, man, what's going on, y'all?
Hey, man.
One quick sidebar. I was at a restaurant this past Friday evening, and I ran into this kid. Now, I didn't want to blow his spot up, but no one in that restaurant knew who he was except for me. It was one number seven, I'm saying, of the Falcons.
Bijan.
So I ran into him. Yes, sir. And we walked outside. I talked to him, man. He's the nicest, kind-hearted
kid
you ever want to meet in your life.
Brother, there's so many good guys on this team, Smitty, and I'll let you finish your thought here, but there's so many good dudes. We've talked about Cousins. Judon, we had that sit-down with Judon a couple of weeks ago. There's so many rootable dudes on this team.
Absolutely, and he yes-sired and no-sired me to death. I was like, okay, I get it. I'm older. But the Falcons, If we get anything like we got Sunday, this past Sunday, with that receiving core and that particular quarterback on the same accord every week, oh, my God, I'm buying the Falcons every day.
Right on, brother. On Sunday. Appreciate you, baby. That's the way it's vibing right now. Man, it just feels so good to have a team that's excited, as we said, building up to it. If we played Pittsburgh now, we'd probably beat them by a touchdown or more. You know, I mean, the Chiefs, that's a game that you're still getting your best punch. They are the Super Bowl champions back-to-back, and we all know what we've got to do in that game a little bit better. But certainly, the way Cousins is playing now, 509 freaking yards, four touchdowns. You've been able to overcome the pick. You know, and Chris, as we said, as the defense, do they go shopping? Do we have that guy? We've asked that question. Is there anyone who's going to step up consistently opposite Matthew Judon's the only beef I have now?
Yeah, and that's essentially what it's going to come down to, because if you don't sack the quarterback, I'm sorry, whatever Mike Smith said back in the day, you're not going to win the amount of football games that you absolutely need to.
Sacks are overrated.
That's the quote.
What's more important is pad level.
And QB hits.
Lower pad level.
No, like, QB pressure.
I sound like we're dogging Smitty because he's a great dude, but that was one of those things where, you know, but you think there's any correlation? Like one of the last times we had a really good team that went deep and should have gone to the Super Bowl, we had John Abraham on that squad and a really good defensive line with a lot of big playmakers. Appreciate the feedback. Matt, by the way, on Twitter, Matt, UGA Matt says, we were talking earlier about Auburn. He says, one of the things that's been an issue, he says, Auburn, the game in Georgia has not been the same since they moved. It used to be like the second week in November. Generally, that would be the week for years. I mean, you know, for decades. And he says, since they moved the date up, it hasn't been necessarily the same. And he says it's a good problem to have that Georgia has really had the dominance of Auburn, so it's not the same juice that it maybe had in years past.
Well, I was about to say, does the date moving up correlate with when Auburn started not being very good?
Well, it's when they started changing coaches left and right and figuring they didn't want to have back-to-back Georgia-Bama, which I understand, but you did have a lot of history there. You know, when you're winning, it's not really a beef. Appreciate the feedback, guys. This hour of the show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Kirby threw down the gauntlet. You know who picked it up? One of the biggest dog fans in town. I'll explain next in Guy Talk. And Florida State, 1-5. My wife's got jokes. It's all coming up. Where the players play this hour of the show, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Guys, Wednesday, Carl and I, and Carl will be back tomorrow, by the way, from his Sunday night football, which got a late start with all that weird weather, the rain and thunderstorms and thunder and lightning. The way you love me is frightening. So Chris filling in today for Carl. Wednesday, we'll be up at the Falcons. And Thursday, guys, Dukes and Bell will be live at Taco Mac Woodstock. Always a great time. Always tons of listeners up there. Hey, man, Ale from Dukes and Bell on draft from Oconee Brewing. So come on down and join the party. All right, so we played Kirby and that soundbite, which everyone's heard now, where he's basically calling out dog fans. And they got to make more noise. They got to, you know, step up. So I'm going to take it upon myself, Chris, to set things straight and get out to Athens. Because I haven't been up there in a game in a minute now. Because usually, when Florida State is good, I'm not in Athens. And when Florida State is bad, I tend to be in Athens. But nobody's a bigger dog fan than this guy.
Well, I was about to say, as the representative dog fan on the station, Mike Bell, you know, Randy Mack aside, yes, and everybody else.
You bleed red and black, yeah, there, Mike.
Hit,
yes,
hit that music, Arby, because nobody's a bigger dog fan than this guy.
Yeah.
Especially when Chris Ricks was playing quarterback for Florida State. Or
and Fabian Washington.
And Jeff Bowden was screwing things up. That's when I adopted the dogs. Wrapped my arms around that team. Loved that squad. I was there that night when A.J. Green got flagged for that ridiculous celebration penalty against LSU. I was there for the good blackout. The one against Auburn.
Yes. 07.
When they played Superman. The unedited version, which had many people.
Soulja Boy, yes.
Many people under the age of 30 going, damn, they're really playing that here. Oh,
2007 was a great year.
What a time.
Great year. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, thank you. Time. And so nobody's a bigger dog fan than this guy, especially since Florida State is in the crapper. And I didn't even go to the Clemson game.
So if you want to tailgate with Mike Bell, now's here's your opportunity.
Yes, Captain Gary Plops and I will be out there. And also, These are really cheap tickets, probably the cheapest tickets you'll get all season.
Miss State's not going to be a very hard one to grab, I don't think, no.
I got great seats right behind the Georgia bench. And for those of you who don't know, and Orin and Chris can attest, we don't pay for, you know, we don't get the freebies. We pay for our tickets. We're not going to sit there and, you know, get the free deal. We pay for it. So I went on SeatGeek and I got a nice deal.
Being in the box is more boring anyway.
Well, you can't cheer. You can't cheer in the box.
It'd be all nice and just like confined to like just this small space. You just sit there quietly.
Right on. So again, looking forward to it. And I hadn't been in Georgia since before COVID. I apologize, guys. It's been a minute because Florida State, you know, actually didn't suck for a while there.
You're going to make up for 4 years of absentee in one fell
you
swoop.
Bet I am.
Toppers, better watch out.
Hey, man, easy. That's amateur hour. How dare you? Come on, man. Too old for that nonsense for now. Although it is nice to find a young co-ed working her way through college who has daddy issues, if you can find it. Meanwhile, I digress. So talking about Florida State, my wife, I put the pictures up at Mike Bell ATL for Halloween. Do you, again, you're in a condo, so you really can't do much outdoors other than your patio or your balcony.
No, we can't do anything.
Well, in the neighborhood, everybody does, and there's some really amazing displays. Oren, I don't know how it is in your neighborhood. People, inflatables now. We got some neighbors that moved here from South Florida, and they pulled out all the stops. They work for Delta. So we got a lot of cool stuff. My wife decided while it was halftime on Saturday, we had some friends over, and she and some of the neighbors thought it would be kind of funny to go rifling through my Florida State stuff. She's got a Florida State tank top with a Florida State visor on a skeleton on our front door.
Yeah, this is amazing work by Becky. I will say that. True work of an artiste.
She's even got the Florida State cooler at the front on the front door. So anyway, that's where things are hanging right now.
We got a couple of houses in the neighborhood. My mom, she watches Franklin, my son, during the week, and they go on little walks. There's a couple houses where she has to like hold him because he won't walk past the house because he's so scared.
Yeah, even my dog, Ike, gets spooked by some of the displays.
The ones that move, when you see them move, like, oh, no. He's like, nope, I'm not doing that.
And
nope.
I guess you get it at Home Depot or Lowe's, but now they have like these like 9 feet skeletons that are out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we saw somebody had a Nightmare Before Christmas full display with all the different characters that were, again, 7, 8, 9 feet tall each.
Are you a full candy bar guy, Mike, or are you a mini candy bar guy?
I'm full because it's pretty cool. We have the kids in the neighborhood. We have the backyard, so we get the fire pit going on Halloween night, if it's a weeknight, whatever. And then they come over to the gate on the side of the house, and we just go crazy. Everybody gets the regular size stuff. Go get the regular three. By the way, I'm a big Three Musketeers guy. You know, I like nougat. I'm a big nougat guy. I like Milky Ways.
Nougat
too.
Is crucial in a candy bar, yes.
And then if I want to say I'm being healthy, I go for the Nestle's Crunch because it's got rice in it.
Oh,
healthy.
Yeah, of course.
Or no, go for a Snickers. It has peanuts. Peanuts are healthier, yes.
Yeah, it satisfies. So while we were on the show Friday up at Twin Peaks, Chris was filling in for Carl. And then he dropped something that we were kind of like, well, you're doing what? And people at the bar were going, you're doing what? You went apple picking at the behest of your girlfriend.
It was an amazing time, Michael.
All right, lay this on me. And the big
Oren!
I met Tiara, lovely girl. The big question was she was going to put you into matching outfits.
And she did. And it is on my Instagram at C Thomas Radio. Originally, we were going to do the generic red and black flannel ensemble. Then it turned out to be 86 degrees on Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
So we thought better of it. We went out after the show on Friday. And she was going to say I bought an outfit, but really, she picked it out for me to buy for myself, and she picked out a matching outfit. And honestly, Mike, I'm going to say this. For all you guys out there that have never done the apple picking thing with your girlfriend, and you're turning your nose up at it like I did, because that was my impression at first, Mike, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, no, you're wearing like matching Adidas shirts.
Yeah, we look cool.
Now, I was like doing like co-ed team gymnastics. You know?
No.
Who's got spirit? Yeah. I've got spirit.
Yeah. So it was really, really fun. We got to go inside. They have this giant store inside where they sell like homemade apple pie.
Apple butter is where it's at.
We got apple cinnamon bread. We got the cider. Mike, you would have loved it. They had about 30 to 40 different flavors of hard apple cider to choose from.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, it's funny because back in the day, we did a promotion in the old radio. Was it Woodchuck cider? Was it Woodchuck? Was that the company? And we were at Dixie Tavern. I'm dating myself. It's all like giant like condos and like retail now in Buckhead. But yeah, the old days at Dixie Tavern and like, let's see, Bar Atlanta, Lulu's, Mako's, and we did like a pub crawl with the cider. And then meanwhile, you're completely, the hangover is like an axe in your head.
Because it's all sugar. Oh my gosh. It don't go nowhere.
Yeah, it's literally just sugar. So we went to the bar first, and then we did the apple picking.
Right.
That was a mistake, Mike Bell, because the sun was shining deeply over our heads.
Oh, man.
And it was a sweaty, drunken afternoon at the apple picking farm. But it was great. It was a great weekend overall. No, yeah. Oren.
And then she covered him in apples, and they went to work.
No comment.
Then again, the sheets get all sticky from the apple butter. Hi-yo!
No comment.
Never mind. On that note, hey, man, we got a bunch of things from the weekend. The audio doesn't really matter. I can just tell you the story because it's just simple coach speak, those stupid interviews they do either before or after the half. You don't learn anything if you're down. Well, you got to work harder. We're going to do some tackling, blah, blah, blah. But the funny thing is, in some cases, they'll pre-record them and they come back on the field at halftime. Tulane is beating the snot out of Trent Dilfer's UAB Blazers. And so they've got the pre-recorded Trent Dilfer, you know, soundbite about we got to do this and we got to do that. And in the middle of it happening, as Trent Dilfer's explaining all the things they've got to work on, you know, we're building something we believe in. It's going to be something special when you do that. You never learn to flinch. Meanwhile, a guy's busting a 51-yard touchdown run the first play from scrimmage in the second half for the Green Wave.
So the Fighting Steak Shapiros had themselves quite a day.
They get boat raced 71-20 by Tulane. So, yeah, need to say, you know, like, it is what it is. It doesn't matter how great the coach is, how great the program is. It's just you don't get anything from these interviews. It's just the silliest thing.
No, and you know what? I think at this point, too, we've come to realize that even the miking up of the baseball players in the outfield during some of these games, even that's gotten stale, too. I think it's just a gimmick, honestly, at this point, Mike. And I really don't feel like if you're tuning into the game, right, if for some reason you have an interest in UAB Tulane, which means you're betting on it, and you're watching the game, you don't care about what Trent Dilfer has to say at the end of the quarter. I'm sorry. You just don't.
I mean, with all due respect to the sideline reporters, we know a bunch of guys and ladies that do it. It's just, all you're really looking for is injury information because you're not getting anything as far as that soundbite. You're right about that. Hey, I hate to end Guy Talk on a serious note, but geez Louise, have you seen the projections for this Hurricane Milton?
Yeah.
And I'm not like Fricky who can remember, well, it was back in 1976 with Hurricane Bell. I mean, he has like photographic, like encyclopedia-like knowledge.
He can go deep in the hurricane
knowledge. Hurricane. I just don't remember hurricanes ever starting over there, meaning like on the other side of the Yucatan Peninsula.
It went from tropical storm to category 5 in less than 24 hours.
Which is
insane.
Projections taking it right to the south of Tampa Bay, and that whole area just got clobbered 2 weeks ago as Helene made its way up the coast.
And the sports angle, Mike, is that the Bucks are leaving tomorrow.
Yep, they're getting out of Dodge.
Yep.
So we've got a bunch of friends, you know, from Marco Island in Naples. It's funny, it's sad. We had some friends of ours who sold the house in Naples, and the wife just said, I can't go through another rebuild, you know, for all the years of the storm surge and all that. So it's like it's the best when there's, you know, they get the sunsets and everything else, but the one in whatever percentage chance you're going to get hit with a hurricane. So thoughts and prayers legitimately to everybody out there on the west coast of Florida, because the projection just is going to come zipping right through like Wednesday night, it looks like.
Yeah, and Mike, by the way, we are keeping our efforts here going strong on 92.9 The Game for our good pal Andy Bunker.
Look, I know we've seen a lot of stuff. A lot of folks are saying FEMA has dropped the ball, and they kind of have. But either way, we need to get some help up to the Carolinas. Andy Bunker's up there right now, the Helene Assist. Go to 92.9thegame.com. That's our homepage. And you can get involved with supporting the Haywood Schools Foundation by donating today, helping people up there in the Boone area in western North Carolina. As you guys know, some charities, it's a little top-heavy. In this case, your money is going to go right to the people that need it. So you're taking out the middleman. Again, guys, go to 92.9thegame.com and give what you can, because as we've seen, it's just amazing how the rain saturated up there and the flooding, which is just from Asheville all the way over, just brutal.
And everyone's been amazing so far, Mike. Almost $7,000 raised. So
that's cool.
Great job by everybody.
So get on it, man. Go check it out at 92.9thegame.com. Hey, man. Yeah, Hurricane Milton, we were just talking about it. The actor Stephen Root. I believe you have my stapler. This guy's got range. He went from the guy Milton in Office Space. What was the character's name on HBO? Yeah. What was the Bill Hader show, by the way, Orin?
It was Barry.
Barry's, you know, he's a hired killer.
It was Monroe Fuchs.
Fuchs,
yes. He and NoHo Hank.
The last season of Barry was unbelievable. He comes out of prison. They're playing this song, which is Black Sabbath, and his transformation.
He's the Vulture now. The huge tattoo on his like neck and shoulder chest. Yeah.
If you don't know, it's just, again, and I can't turn everybody on to HBO, but Barry was worth the price of admission. Hey, man, we'll come back, talk some Falcons. Don't you feel like the Falcons can hang with anybody in the NFL right now going into week 6? We'll talk about it next.